Welcome to The Craft Life. In every episode, we'll dive deep into the rabbit hole of all things branding and marketing within the craft beer industry. Be prepared to be injected with tips, processes, and ideologies from those in the industry that are executing in a unique and creative fashion. If you're looking for ways to cut through all that noise and find or redefine your craft by creating long-lasting impressions, memorable experiences, all while having consistency in your attitude, belief, and values, then The Craft Life is a good fit for your life. Let's get crafting. Welcome, everybody, to episode 17 of The Craft Life Podcast. We're here with another exciting episode for you. Today, I'm here at the legendary Three Sons Brewery here in Dania Beach, Florida. Three Sons, the brewery is actually retrofitted in a spacious 11,000 square foot 1940s warehouse, not far from the Fort Lauderdale Airport. Inside of here, you know, you got the ceilings about 30 foot high, super clean, super modern, and this place is freaking dope. If you haven't been here, you definitely need to come and check it out. So I'm super humbled and grateful to chop it up here with the founder of this amazing spot, Corey Artanis. Did I get that last name right?
Yes, sir. Yes, awesome. Sir.
Man, so what's up, brother, man? Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for letting me come hang out with you right before you guys open and stuff like that. And I'm just super stoked to basically get to chat it up with you, man.
Absolutely, man. It's good to see you.
So on this episode, kind of different. You know, usually we talk about marketing and branding right off the jump. But this time we're going to be taking a 360 look at Three Sons and Corey's start into the craft beer industry. We're not going to be focusing on marketing and branding per se, but we're going to have a couple of topics about that. So let's get in it. And basically, if you haven't heard about Three Sons or Corey, you're definitely the truth. Just a little small fun facts about him. His brewery is the truth. He's been brewing for over 10 years. Is that correct?
Yes. Started brewing in 2006.
Oh, okay. So you've been brewing for a hot minute, my man.
Yeah.
You won a bunch of medals, voted number one brewery by several publications, tons of great stuff about him and his brewery. So I'm so freaking pumped to, you know, jump on here and hear about your journey. So let's get into it, my man.
Cool.
All right. So let's discuss how you entered the craft beer scene. What were you doing before and what led you to Three Sons? And why did you pick this location? I know that's kind of a loaded question. So let's just go ahead and start from the beginning.
All right. So before I was... when I moved out here, I started homebrewing in 2006. I was working as, I actually moved down to South Florida to become a firefighter. So
I respect, man.
Yep. My brother's a firefighter from Miami-Dade County. And he became a firefighter in 2005. He told me to come down because they're going to be doing some hiring. So I moved down here and, yeah, I got went to the fire academy immediately, Coral Springs Fire Academy.
Oh, yeah.
And then after I graduated from that, realized that there's not much fire in South Florida and most of it's all medical calls. So yeah. Did my EMT with the Florida FMTI. I did that. And after I graduated that, did my paramedic with FMTI. And... so then this was around 2007 where the housing crisis was and all departments froze the hiring and
we all remember that time.
Yeah, so once they opened everything back up for hiring, there would be like maybe 10 positions available and you had like 1,000 guys who were all certified and, you know, applying for positions. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those oversaturated positions at the time. So
yeah, unlike the police department, fire department, you can go through a fire academy where before you get hired versus police academy, you know, yeah, you have to be hired. So that was, I ended up getting a job at a private ambulance company, American Ambulance, and they had a contracted position at Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital. So I was lucky enough to get that. It was like, that position, it was a permanent position. I really didn't have to run calls outside of like I reported to and from the hospital. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like I worked for, felt like I worked for Memorial Regional and Joe DiMaggio. So I did that, critical care transports for the hospital. So I drove an ambulance. We would go out, pick up kids that were higher level acuity at other hospitals and bring back to our hospital. I'd go out with like a respiratory therapist and a nurse.
Gotcha.
Depending on how sick the kid was as well, you know, we'd go out with like physicians and physician assistants, multiple nurses, and I ran those calls for the PICU, the NICU, and the ER.
Mm.
We would go out. So yeah, I did that for like, I want to say 6-7 years.
Okay.
All the while I was homebrewing.
Nice.
Yeah, and kind of would experiment with different styles of beer on the nurses and you know, bring them all my stuff. And
what was your favorite beer to brew there at that time? Or style?
At that time, well, one of my most proud ones was the pumpkin spice latte.
Okay.
So it was like the nurses would flip out come, you know, fall pumpkin spice latte season.
Yeah.
And so it was cool. I had already brewed pumpkin beer and I was like, man, what could I do to turn this into like a pumpkin spice latte? So I added I added milk, sugar, and vanilla to the pumpkin ale, and of course a ton of coffee.
Nice.
So it was one of my babies, you know, one of the beers I was most proud of. Kind of put me on the map as well. Every time I poured that, people would go bananas.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so I did that. That's what I was doing before I left to get a job as a professional brewer.
Nice, nice. And you also left out a little important fact that me and you got in common. You served 4 years in the greatest army in the world.
Yes, sir.
So we're out of that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. So, all right. So then you're home brewing. So what was a trigger that said, I need to do this professionally?
It was the second year that we went to, actually would have been the third year at Hunapu. So the first year we got invited to pour at Cigar City's Hunapu Beer Fest. We poured, had great response. You know, it was all like word of mouth. People were like, yo, go check out Three Sons. So that was really cool. Second year we were like one of the more anticipated breweries to be pouring. That year they did the People's Choice Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And we won first place for best beer and first place for best brewery.
Nice.
Which was crazy. Very crazy. Because we were like pouring next to like Toppling Goliath. And there's like over 100 breweries there that were like badass professional breweries. So that was really dope. And then that third year, we went back. We won.
And this is when you're brewing at home. Everything at home, huh?
Yeah, the first year was all at home. The second year, I brewed beers at the Brewer's Tasting Room in St. Petersburg because the beer had to come through licensed, you know, they had to basically purchase it. And then the third year, I was brewing at that. By that time, I was brewing full time at the Brass Tap.
Okay.
So, Flagler Village Brewery, which is now what it's called, and I was brewing at in Naples, the Brass Tap in Naples, which was called South Cyprus at the time. But so some of the beers I was brewing came from those locations, and so that third year that I went, we placed first place for best brewery. And we won first and second place for best beer.
Oh wow!
Yeah, man. So that was like crazy. That was the point. Like, my father is my business partner. He poured at every Hunapu with me, and he's always been involved with craft beer. And
that's awesome.
So we were like, "All right,
this time,
yeah, let's do this."
So, where did the name come from, Three Sons?
My wife came up with the name. I have three sons. We have three sons. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to call it three barrels. I wanted like the number three to be in there, and she's like, why don't you just call it like Three Sons? And I was like, to me it sounded like a moving company. I was just like, but then it grew on me, and my other cousin, her husband designed our label, our logo, And then my other cousin used to design all of our labels, so nice. It's very, you know, family oriented.
Yeah.
Business.
Oh man, that's dope. That's really dope. Didn't even know about that. So we heard a little bit of your background. Heard how you guys started this. Why'd you pick this location?
I was into craft beer, obviously, as a home brewer. Used to drive all over the place. There was really no craft beer in Florida when I moved down here. Like, mm-hmm. Cigar City wasn't open. So once things started popping open, like in Boca or Miami or whatever, people drive for good craft beer. So I wanted to be somewhere centrally located between Boca, Miami, and like Weston, you know, like easy access, right off the highway. You know, you can drive from anywhere or come out from the West Coast, and you know, so that was kind of why I was looking for something in the, you know, 95/595 area.
Oh, nice. So the aesthetics of the layout over here, how did you like come up with this, or what was your thoughts when you first came into this warehouse and you're like,
yeah, so like literally nothing was here. The only thing that was here was that the stairs and the second floor, the mezzanine, and that railing. There was no drywall in here, like none of these walls. This was like an empty shell warehouse.
Yeah.
My father has a pretty good vision when it comes to architecturally, like building out places. He used to like flip houses.
Okay.
Like buy old like Victorian style houses in Buffalo. We have a ton of them, and then like renovate them and you know knock down walls.
So he did the work himself too.
Well, we had some guys come down from Buffalo who helped work on the build out, but he did a lot of the design in regards to like with the bar, and he also prior to us opening probably traveled to at least like 20-30 different bars in the nation
just to get an idea on the aesthetics and layout and stuff like that. That's dope.
Exactly. Yeah. He really did his homework, so he was all over the place, and so we came up with the concept, and the kitchen was designed by Chef Nikolai. He came up with the concept for the kitchen design, which has been great.
Sure.
So it was pretty cool the way it came out. The building's not sprinklered, so unfortunately we can't, you know, we have to have firewalls in between the brew house and the tasting room, so you really can't see into it. But I wanted people to feel like all the breweries that I had been to, the ones that like resonated with me the most were the ones that I walked into and like the tanks are right there, and like you see the brew house, and like you really feel like you're in a brewery. So we decided to put our largest fermentation vessels out in the tasting room. So
yeah. And during your build out, you already guys had to plan for the large ones here, or were they here during?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So we had to make sure we built the floor up and so it could support the weight, and also had to slope the floor to the trench drains and things like that.
So let's talk about the Black is Beautiful Stout. Let's discuss your participation in this and the future of Three Sons working on this project/initiative.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So obviously Weathered Souls, they started this initiative after George Floyd was murdered. And so basically it's to raise awareness for social injustice. They also did this to raise funds for people who have been like wrongly accused, and police brutality cases and whatnot. So it was really important that we be a part of that. Definitely resonates at home. I'm not sure if you know, my wife is Black, but so it definitely resonates with us. And we wanted to do everything that we could to help out.
That's awesome, man.
So they did that. We did the first rendition with them, and they reached out to us again about, like, I want to say, what was it? Maybe like 2 months ago. They had partnered with Walmart to do a release, and we were the only Florida brewery who participated in the release for the beer that was dropped at Walmart. Which was like an honor for us to be able to do that. And we raised our charity that we donated to is the New Florida Majority. Okay. So the first check we wrote them was like for like $6,000.
Oh, man. And that's awesome, man.
Yeah. So it's just something that's important. And if and when we can do it again, I'm sure we'll hear from the guys at Weather Souls again.
For sure,
however they want to do it again, we're definitely down for the cause.
So. Yeah, big ups to you guys and stepping in and doing that. You know, being the only Florida brewery that did it—that's awesome, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So
that's awesome. Now, something that I've been toying in my head and something that we've seen online, the direct-to-consumer model. You know, I see civil societies shipping outside of Florida. Do you see this being a future in craft, craft breweries sending direct to the consumers?
Yeah, for sure. we was just talking about it yesterday as well. So we're trying to get our ducks in the row to do that. One of the biggest hurdles is like the compliance from city to city and state to state and like each municipality and everything like that. There's different laws. You know, some states or cities, someone can only buy X amount of cases of beer a year.
Yeah.
You know, you can only ship so much to certain people. And then there's different taxes and it's just like in every county and this and that. So it's pretty in depth. We're looking at outsourcing that, which I'm pretty sure most breweries are doing right now to handle the compliance. It's definitely
the future,
100% on our radar. For
that is awesome. Yeah, I definitely think that's going to be huge for every brewery. And I think just with COVID in the new world is like, sure, people are just into that. As I was driving over here, my buddy, he's also a fellow officer, and I'm looking at his door and he's having, I'm not sure what delivery company shipped or whatever, is delivering his groceries still, you know, and he's still out in the public, but he's finding it more convenient for them to still drop off his groceries and stuff like that. And so I think that's going to be a path that a lot of people are just going to go ahead and do for convenience wise and stuff like that. Plus the people who can't drive down here are obviously would love to get your beer. And so that's going to be huge.
Yeah, man.
Now let's talk about your label design, my man. You guys, since day one, since I see you on my radar, you always had creative label designs. And now that you guys are like, you kind of like shifted in a different direction, let's talk about that process and the shift and everything like that.
Yeah, so when we had first opened up, my cousin had designed our bottle labels and can labels. So bottle labels were always like something like clean cut, you know, modern, that like true to our brand, as Three Sons. It's not like crazy, you know, name or anything like that. So that was kind of the concept behind that. And then for our can label, I just wanted something that was recognizable. So our first cans that we had, there was like a pattern of hexagon threes that wrapped around the can.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would drop like different color backgrounds or maybe like an image in the background, but it always would have that three hexagon pattern that ran across the can.
Mm-hmm.
It was just for the simplicity of the design and
brand just, awareness.
Yeah, exactly. Just so people can like recognize the brand easily. But it was easy. It was kind of there wasn't a whole lot like crazy thought that went into it. You know, we switched the color up, you know, maybe put like a city in the background or, you know, some swirls or whatever, you know, whatever. Did a couple different things, but so I wanted to once we had COVID hit and, you know, we were closed for 3 months at the tasting room, everything was to go curbside. It really allowed us to like kind of like step back, really reevaluate our brand, you know, where we were going and how we wanted to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the quality of beer that we were putting out, and we were actually ramped up our production because of the fact that we weren't selling everything over the bar forced us to brew more beer and sell it all wholesale. Mm-hmm. So a lot of beer was going out for distribution. Most of that was overseas and some spots in the United States, because you know they had already had their waves overseas. So they were, you know, people were buying beer and going out a little bit more.
Awesome.
So yeah, so luckily for us, we were able to do that. And so we ended up stepping back, reevaluating ourselves. Mm-hmm. We hired a social media guy, Magic, who was able to really portray the image and of like what our beer is and the quality of the beer with his photography mm-hmm. and videography, which he's great at. Mm-hmm. And then we started looking for a new graphics designer or designer mm-hmm. Or illustrator, and we try to figure out what direction we wanted to go in, whether it be like the illustration, something that was unique. You know, we just wanted something that kind of like spoke Three Suns, that when people saw labels they would recognize it, or like, you know, just kind of spoke to our brand. So we found a guy in New York who was one of the guys that we had do some labels, and I really digged his work.
Yeah.
Vibed with me. I can give him some ideas, and he would like just was like killing it. So Kyle's been doing all of our can labels. Ruben, who he has been doing most of our bottle labels from the beginning. So he also still does our bottle labels. Ruben has a different aesthetic, a little bit. So it's cool. We have two great designers that are really killing it. It's fun to work with them.
Yeah, it's looking good, man. So
thank you.
Big ups to you guys.
Thank you.
Awesome. So without giving any secrets, what marketing and branding tactics does Three Suns do that really separate your brewery from everybody else?
I mean, I don't know if it's marketing or branding secrets. I mean, mm-hmm. Obviously you got to make good beer.
For sure.
So I think the quality of our beer has been great. We've been doing it for a while mm-hmm. as well. So we kind of have that going for us mm-hmm. where, we're in that OG, South Florida group of brewers who've been putting out beers, quality consistently. I think that helps a lot. Just keeping people excited.
Yeah.
You gotta, everyone wants to try some new stuff. Everyone wants to try something cool and unique. Don't go crazy on bottle releases and dropping like thousands of bottles. People love to have something that's unique and harder to get. Support, locals.
Trust me, when I'm on Osner, you guys like yeah. sell out in like 2 seconds. I gotta have like the best internet connectivity. That's awesome.
The Osner thing has been great for us. Every once in a while we'll hold some bottles back and we'll do like silent release drops at the brewery for like locals and stuff like that.
Nice.
Which is great. Originally we used to just do drops here, and of course the COVID thing, kiboshed that whole deal. So there isn't anything I would say. Just, stay true to who you are, what you want to do, and
that kind of exudes through your marketing. I mean, you guys are producing consistently good products and your marketing is on point. I just think that the overall 360 of it just makes you guys, stand out, so.
Thank you. Yeah, we're working on our merch. That's our new thing right now. So we it's been tough. We're still, we're still a startup company. We've been open for 2 years just this past March.
Yeah.
And, 4 months of that we were closed. So, so we're still trying to,
dial in,
evolve, and get our footing, and there's a lot of aspects of the business that we could do a whole lot better in, and we're trying. So, merchandise is definitely one of them, but we'll get there.
Nice, yeah, for sure, absolutely. So we always talk about beer, but let's talk about the food you guys craft here. Last year you guys were featured on Guy Fieri's diner, drive-in, and that show. Yeah,
yeah, Triple D.
Triple D's. Super cool. Let's talk about the experience, because, you know, like, it's awesome that you guys are always showcased. I mean, there's tons of publications out there for the brewery and the beers and everything like that. There are also things about the food, but just to be featured on Guy Fieri, like, that's awesome. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, that was really dope, man. I had gotten an email from the Food Network, and
that's crazy, right? When that thing pops in, you're like, "Oh, I got a Food Network. What's up?"
Yeah, yeah. You're like, and then, you know, you once in a while you'll get emails, and then a lot of times you're like, "Is it like marketing? You know, they want you, you know, to pay for a commercial or something? You know, like." So I was like, "Okay, I don't know what this is." I forwarded it to my father and Connie. Who handles a lot of our HR and back of the house social event coordinating, planning, things like that. Nice. So I sent it to them, and they were like, yeah, no, it's legit. Like they're interested in checking us out to see if we'd be a good fit for their show, for one of their programs. And so we had to send them recipes and story and this and that and, you know, everything. And they get all that information and then pretty much put it on Guy's desk, and he decides whether or not he wants to come and do the show.
Nice.
So they really liked our story, you know, the three sons, father and son business, and, craft beer, our awards that we got and everything like that. And and then the food aspect of it as well. So we were lucky enough to be one of three. I think there was 27 restaurants that they had in their scopes, and so we were one of three, which I think we were the only one of the three that ended up getting put on the show.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy, but yeah, and it was the season finale, and we were the last restaurant to be shown on that episode, which was really cool. It was cool. It was like a whirlwind of 2 days. The film crew came in, they filmed for 12 hours, 10, 12 hours each day for a 8 minute, clip.
Right? Yeah. That's how it goes.
So, yeah, it was cool. Guy was really, really cool dude, man. Down to earth. Just, he was talking to with one of your boys.
For sure.
He wasn't he was just he was funny, cool, chill, loved the food. Was told, off camera, was yo, you got something good here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was really cool.
So you mentioned for that, man, that's just big ups to you.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the future. What's the future of Three Sun?
Oh, man.
It's big.
Future. Yeah, we're currently looking for to expand.
Yeah.
We're looking for we'd like to own our own property. We're leasing here. And we also need a little expansion as far as production wise. Right now, this year we're on track to max out our brew house.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to be purchasing the next month or two. We'll be purchasing some more fermenters. We want to get a canning line, a centrifuge, all the toys. So that's kind of an immediate future. For us, we just expanding, larger location, maybe doing something with a food hall concept. We've been kicking that idea around. And getting more of our beer out to people who want it.
For sure, man. So thank you so much, Corey. I'm really honored that you took the time out to chat with me today. Like I said, man, if you haven't been here, definitely have to come here. Three Sons is located at 236 North Federal Highway, Unit 104 in Dania Beach, Florida. Their website is 3 sunsbrewingco.com. You can find them on Untappd at 3 Sons Brewing Co, Facebook the same, and Instagram. So to wrap this up, Corey, are you down to send us off?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it, my man.
So to the craft beer, to the craft life community, keep supporting your local craft breweries.
Peace and love. We out. Yeah.